The Good and Evil Law of Agape. As I approach the milestone of publishing 20 books, I've yet to delve into the myriad misconceptions about love initiated by the Greeks. Unraveling their intricate weaving of love with diverse emotions, I aim to dispel these misconceptions in this book. Embark with me on a journey into the profound truth of the seventh seal, intertwining discussions on ancient mysticism and the chakra system, a path unfolding in Book 14. Join me in exploring the depths of wisdom and love. King John. Chapter 1, What is Law? Delving into the concept of law can be frustrating, with people often perceiving it as subjective. However, law is not subjective, it's universal and absolute. The term law originates from the Hebrew word Torah, H84:51, meaning instruction or custom. The entire universe is built upon one fundamental instruction, love. This universal order encompasses patience, understanding, consistent care, instant correction, long-suffering, solid faithfulness, and divine loyalty. Stepping outside this cosmic order prompts reactions to restore balance. Isaac Newton's law of physics, stating that every action has an equal or opposite reaction, was observed by him, not created. The tendency of some scientists to be atheists can slow scientific advancement, as God plays a crucial role in the universe's order. Newton's law finds resonance in Luke 6 verse 38, affirming the reciprocal nature of giving. Recognizing that law is synonymous with order and instruction, adhering to this universal order yields benefits. God has established an order designed for success, requiring love for the order in place. Loving God's order ensures success within it. In essence, law is for our benefit, providing a structured framework for flourishing within the universe's order. In acknowledging the perceived difficulty in following the law, it often stems from societal imbalances, false perceptions, and media influences. Movies, TV, and music can lead individuals away from order, making it both challenging to naturally adhere to it and simultaneously enticing to be out of order. This societal programming has been shown to result in shorter lives and unfortunate consequences for those unaware of its impact. This book aims to unveil the truth about God, love, and law, challenging prevailing notions of right and wrong. I will go into the human experience, identifying seven words, pragma, eros, philia, mania, storge, agape, and ahaba, that describe laws of attraction. The upcoming chapters promise to break down these seven laws of attraction. The primary focus for children of God is to evolve into grown adults of God, capable of holding themselves accountable. By the book's conclusion, I aim to provide a complete guide to becoming an adult of God rather than a child of God. Drawing inspiration from Jesus, portrayed as an adult of God, and his disciples, viewed as children of God, the journey involves walking in these seven universal laws of attraction. Chapter 2, Pragma. Exploring the Greek word pragma, G4229 in the Greek Concordance, it signifies something that is or exists. In truth, God is the existing one, operating within the realm of pragma, dealing with the order and business of his kingdom, love. While some attempt to incorporate pragma into the understanding of love, it differs from God, who is inherently love. The term pragma is also linked with computer programming, emphasizing the need for order and direction. Universally, pragma denotes a functioning operating structure. In relationships, having pragma doesn't equate to love but signifies a structured foundation, an integral part of love. The principles fitting into the definition of pragma include understanding, correction, faithfulness, and loyalty. Though pragma alone isn't love, it serves as a crucial stepping stone. When a person demonstrates faithfulness and loyalty in a partnership, they are practicing pragma. Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics introduces the concept of practical wisdom or phronesis, emphasizing making sound decisions in specific situations based on a profound understanding of ethics and the effective application of that knowledge. Aristotle employs the term pragma when describing outcomes resulting from actions guided by practical wisdom. Aristotle's assertion that the pragma of a just and courageous action leads to the establishment of a virtuous and harmonious community underscores how pragma reflects tangible, real-world consequences arising from virtuous behavior guided by practical wisdom. This emphasizes pragma's strong connection to understanding, a crucial element to comprehend the true nature of love. Understanding pragma becomes pivotal in unraveling the mystical concept of the root chakra, Muladhara. Located at the base of the spine, the root chakra is associated with grounding, survival instincts, and basic human needs. Practicing pragma with oneself becomes the key to unlocking this spiritual blockage. To do so, one must establish a set structure of moral grounding, ensuring that personal morals align with universal law, the fundamental principle of treating others as you would like to be treated. This internal practice of pragma holds the key to unlocking the deeper dimensions of self and spiritual growth. Success in practicing pragma within yourself requires a clear understanding of your likes and dislikes, enabling you to treat others in the same manner. If someone is accepting disrespect or being walked over, it indicates a lack of self-love. Holding oneself to the standard of God's law, as outlined in 10 Detailed Laws of God in Book 4, becomes a foundational step in unlocking this spiritual groundwork. Establishing a standard and a firm foundation aligned with God's laws ensures the full balance and solidity of your root chakra. This, in turn, contributes to a more harmonious and spiritually grounded existence. Chapter 3, Eros. In psychology, Eros stands as one of the life instincts identified by Sigmund Freud, propelling humans toward self-preservation and procreation. Often associated with sexual urges, Eros has been a driving force in mankind's intimate connections. However, its misinterpretation has led to sexual immorality, where people mistakenly believe that engaging in sex equates to love. This confusion is evident in Greek mythology, particularly with Aphrodite, the goddess of love, born from a complex origin. The roots of sexual immorality can be traced back to a lack of self-awareness. It's crucial to distinguish between the genuine essence of love and the mere expression of sexual desire, avoiding the pitfalls of conflating the two. The concept of Eros is intricately connected to the sacral chakra, Svadhisthana, representing creative energy influenced by emotions. Practicing sexual discipline plays a pivotal role in achieving balance within the sacral chakra. This equilibrium not only helps overcome sexual immorality but also allows for the healthy utilization of Eros. Recognizing that Eros is only a part of love and understanding its tie to the principles of love, particularly caring and long-suffering, becomes essential. Enduring through periods of sexual absence fosters healthy relationships, both with oneself and one's partner. Balancing the mystical chakra of Eros is a key step toward understanding one's true creative potential, fostering a deeper connection with the creative energy within. Chapter 4, Philos. Philos, G5384 in the Greek Concordance, is closely tied to the term philosophy and is used to express an affection for wisdom. Unlike physical terms, philos is more emotional, representing how one feels about someone. It often intersects with a feeling people commonly mistake for love, pleasure. Pleasure, a sense of bliss and well-being, is associated with philos, and this feeling is driven by the release of dopamine in the brain. Dopamine acts as a reward, reinforcing pleasurable experiences. While philos is linked to love, it is essential to recognize that this emotional connection is distinct from genuine love. Understanding this distinction is crucial in navigating and comprehending the complexities of human emotions and relationships. When individuals perceive love, they may, but not always, experience a sense of satisfaction. The reception of this rewarding feeling is contingent upon one's awareness and perception of love. In instances where individuals lack awareness or have no perception of love, the corresponding satisfaction may not be realized. The subjective nature of love underscores the intricate interplay between perception, emotions, and the unique experience of satisfaction tied to this complex phenomenon. Philos is also connected to the Greek word ludus, representing playful flirtatious energy. This dynamic comes into play when an individual engages in the emotions of someone experiencing the state of philos. It becomes a form of manipulation, a tool that can be wielded for both positive and negative purposes. Understanding the true nature of love is crucial to fully experiencing the rewards of life. The principles of love associated with philos include understanding, care, and loyalty. These three principles are intricately tied to philos. In terms of the mystical chakra linked to philos, it corresponds to the heart chakra, anahata. Positioned in the middle of the chest, it symbolically aligns with the actual heart, emphasizing the heart's central role in the experiences associated with philos and the principles of love. Philos is the blissful feeling experienced when in sync with any goal. Holding onto the seven principles of love grants individuals a sensation known as philos, which can be comprehended and balanced. This serves as the key to balancing the heart chakra, associated with emotion and feeling. It's vital to recognize that feeling good doesn't necessarily mean love is present. Philos is foundational to emotional intelligence, emphasizing the importance of understanding why one feels a certain way. While philos can be temporary, love remains a continuous and enduring force. Chapter 5, Mania. Mania, a Greek word often associated with love, isn't love itself but a highly expressive form of emotional release. It can lead to what some might term obsession or addiction if not balanced. This intense expression of mania stems from a developed sense of dependency on something or someone, often arising from a lack of understanding of philos. When individuals are unaware of the factors triggering dopamine release and its reasons, they may mistakenly attribute their intense feelings to the object or person, instead of recognizing it's the understanding of love that produces the blissful experience. This unbalanced expression of mania is temporary and can hinder individuals from functioning at their full capacity. It's sometimes confused with love due to its vocal nature, but it represents an imbalanced sense of love that can lead one to deny genuine love. Understanding the true nature of love becomes crucial in countering this delusion. While mania, when unbalanced, might lead to excessive actions, learning to strike a balance can facilitate the expression of feelings and contribute to emotional intelligence. When balanced, mania allows individuals to feel appreciated by receiving this strong, passionate energy. The principles of love associated with mania include long-suffering, correction, and faithfulness, all of which are present when a person embodies mania in a balanced manner. Mania is also linked to the throat chakra, Vishuddha, associated with expression and communication. Balancing this chakra requires controlling emotions toward objects and people, understanding that love is the sole mediator between God and mankind. Grasping the essence of love helps prevent excessive attachment to the physical, fostering alignment with the spiritual and the natural. Receiving the Holy Spirit leads to being filled with the Spirit of prophecy, enabling full self-expression through love. Balancing the so-called throat chakra becomes a matter of being vocal about the Word of God, standing in truth and love. It involves being ever ready to speak the Word of God in any situation, emphasizing the harmonious integration of spiritual principles with vocal expression. Chapter 6, Storge. The term that comes closest to describing love in a specific context is storge, associated with G5387 in the Greek Concordance. Storge represents conditional love, primarily rooted in family dynamics, especially parent and child relationships. The sense of obligation to family members gives rise to what we recognize as storge. However, it's essential to note that storge is not synonymous with love. It lacks the awareness of love beyond one's family. Individuals often extend more grace to their children, revealing a programmed mindset toward specific individuals based on situation and circumstance. Storge, while associated with all seven principles of love, operates more as a feeling of obligation. This sense of obligation can persist without genuine love. Storge fails to foster awareness of the respective persons that often emerges in its presence. This lack of awareness contributes to unbalanced relationships with oneself and others. Interestingly, storge is considered the foundation for the love of God. Expanding the foundation of storge beyond the inner family is crucial to maintaining balance, as limiting it can lead to an imbalance in understanding God. When storge transcends the confines of the immediate family, it transforms into the overarching essence of God. The mystical chakra associated with storge is the third eye chakra, Ajna, serving as the foundation for awareness toward awakening true love and alignment with God's divine principles. This expansion beyond familial boundaries contributes to a more comprehensive understanding of God, fostering a harmonious connection with oneself and others. The third eye is associated with the pineal gland, which controls the hormone serotonin, a significant factor in regulating human moods. Maintaining a healthy diet and ensuring exposure to sufficient sunlight can enhance awareness of the emotions coursing through your body. To balance your third eye chakra, diligent seeking of God, who is synonymous with love, is essential. Learning precisely how God moves allows you to align your actions accordingly. Filling your subconscious with knowledge and wisdom becomes a transformative practice in this journey of self-awareness and spiritual alignment. Chapter 7, Agape. The true love of God is associated with the word agape mentioned in 1 John 4 verse 8, which says, "He that love not, knows not God, because God is love," in Greek agape. This love is directly associated with who God is and is also associated with the mystical chakra called the crown chakra, Sahasrara. The crown chakra is actually called Christ. Christ means purposed. The true purpose of God is love. When a man wears the hat of Christ, it is referring to the name of God. The name of God is agape. The word itself is not God, but the understanding of the nature, character, and authority of the word is who God is. Agape is showing complete patience, understanding, care, correction, long-suffering, faithfulness, and loyalty simultaneously. Those principles make up the law and kingdom of God. God is His kingdom. Balancing the crown chakra requires embodying God, who is synonymous with love. To embody God, one must manifest love, as God is the embodiment of love. When discussing chakras, it's essential not to detract from the essence of God and His true name. Walking in love is the key to entering God's name, and the seven principles outlined in this book are the means through which God's name is open to you. Agape is often considered unconditional, but in reality, the very conditions required become unconditional once the conditions of love are met. This implies that once you embody the seven principles of love mentioned throughout this book, you will be able to walk in love unconditionally. It is through the embodiment of these principles that the unconditional nature of agape is fully realized. Chapter 8, Ahab A. The term Ahab A, H160 in the Hebrew Concordance, is the Hebrew counterpart to agape. This word encapsulates the embodiment of God's love and serves as the essence of God's name. Whether expressed in Hebrew or Greek, this signifies the overarching meaning of the crown chakra. However, as time progresses and knowledge evolves, the understanding of these meanings can become confusing for those who do not engage in dedicated study. In many ways, the world finds itself in Babylon, a state of confusion. Unless we grasp the understanding of God's true name and invoke it, we are destined to remain trapped in the cycle of war and chaos. As Jesus foretold in Matthew 24 verse 14, the end will arrive when the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed as a witness to all. The gospel of the kingdom is synonymous with love, not just any love, but the actual love of God known as agape or Ahab A. With a comprehensive understanding of love, we gain the knowledge of how to embody the kingdom, providing the chariot of God to heaven. This chariot, known as the Merkabah, represents the energy surrounding the throne of God. It directs the divine energy of God, which is love, to flow down the spine, generating what ancient mysticism refers to as Kundalini energy. This energy signifies the flow of God's love through the body, achievable only through the continuous embodiment of God's true name. Unlocking your true power necessitates daily practice of patience, understanding, caring, correction, long-suffering, faithfulness, and loyalty simultaneously. Holding yourself accountable each time you deviate from these principles, correcting with patience and understanding, and staying loyal and faithful to the process is crucial for genuine self-care. By embodying these principles consistently, you open the gateway to your true power, receiving God, who is love according to 1 John 4 verse 8. Chapter 9, Love. The English word love embodies all the concepts discussed in this book thus far. However, the challenge arises from the prolonged misuse of this word over time. The multitude of associated words has led to a lack of understanding of love. It's crucial to recognize that the actual love of God differs from mankind's own conception of love. Embodying God's name, the one true love, becomes essential to avoid manipulation based on human interpretations of love. The word love has been so extensively misused that it becomes necessary to identify God without relying on that word. When we envision God, all texts about the Most High consistently portray Him as completely patient, understanding, caring, corrective, long-suffering, faithful, and loyal at all times. This amalgamation forms God's nature, character, and authority, constituting God's name by definition. These seven principles encapsulate God's name and the true essence of what love actually is. Therefore, there's no longer a need to use the English word love to define God's name. Instead, the actions and principles being displayed constitute the actual name, the essence of God. An often misunderstood aspect of love is that it isn't always synonymous with niceness. When a parent disciplines their children, it doesn't negate their love, rather, correction is an integral part of love. When Jesus flipped over tables in Matthew 21 verses 12 to 13, he was demonstrating his love for God. An essential aspect of understanding God's love is that it's not for everyone, it's exclusively for those who actively seek it. Some individuals choose to reject or remain indifferent to this love, indicating that they are not aligned with God. God's profound love for the world is manifested in the giving of His Spirit, and whoever believes and receives this Holy Spirit can attain eternal life through it, even after the flesh perishes. To become one with God is to become love. Genuine love is balanced, it doesn't act out of spite or ill intent. Sometimes, love may remove things for correction purposes or even intervene decisively to protect a member of love from one who lacks it. Understanding these concepts is crucial, as some individuals question whether God is love due to His allowance of free will. Free will, however, isn't entirely free, it comes with correction, an integral part of love. Maintaining order sometimes necessitates correction, which is an expression of love in itself. For instance, if someone gets angry, it doesn't necessarily signify hate, rather, the anger may result from a lack of love. Whether a person is aware of their lack of love or not, their actions will still convey it, potentially triggering a cycle of lacking love in others. This marks the beginning of comprehending love. To understand love, one must recognize what they genuinely wouldn't want done to them, allowing them to project this understanding through their actions. The word love becomes subjective only to those who lack it. Those who truly know love understand that God is love, and God is not subjective. Chapter 10, The Grown Son of God. Having explored key points in this book to help you balance the seven principles of love and receive the Holy Spirit, it's essential to note that God rewards those who diligently seek Him, as mentioned in Hebrews 11 verse 6. Practicing love daily leads to becoming a child of God. Through growth, you will acquire obedience and wisdom, a process echoed in Hebrews 5 verse 8 and Luke 2 verse 52, which Jesus Himself underwent. Gradually, as you find favor with God, you will evolve into an adult of God. Fully embodying God's Spirit involves the diligent pursuit of God, delving into everything about the name of God and understanding who God is. This journey is what it means to be a true adult of God, and it emphasizes that young children can sometimes embody the essence of an adult of God more than an actual adult can. This emphasizes that age doesn't determine being an adult of God. Adult refers to being fully grown or developed. Once you fully grow and develop in the image of God, you become an adult. During your journey toward that, you are a child of God. By practicing the seven principles of love, which embody God's name, success is attainable. Becoming an adult of God requires genuine effort in seeking God. Remember, the Spirit within you is greater than the flesh that embodies it, as highlighted in 1 John 4 verse 4, urging us to know who dwells in us. Jesus' name, meaning God's salvation, was given to fulfill Isaiah 7 verse 14, stating that His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This underscores the understanding that God's name means God is with us. If God, who is salvation, is with us, then love is with us, and love is our salvation. God's love prompted Him to give Himself for us, providing us the ability to live through love. As adults of God, we cease blaming God for the choices made by individuals who deviate from love. I appreciate your commitment to practicing love throughout this book, recognizing that love was necessary for you to fully engage with its content. This concludes another exploration in the seventh seal. Amen. Source page.